Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Happy Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome on into In the Hoop. My name is Tanner Dawson of Let's Talk Sports and the Sports Buffoons. Joining with me today, as always, Mr. JG of the Sports Buffoons. JG, what's up, dude?
Oh, not much, man. Just living the dream right over here.
Living the dream. I like it.
Always. Cheers.
Join with us, of course, is Scott Cobb, SJCobb1 on Twitter of Let's Talk Sports. What's up, Scott?
Not much. I'm doing better than the Miami Heat are doing right now. So,
amen to that.
Yeah, guys, the series is driving me to drink, in case you didn't know.
Like, this is about classic as it becomes for JG over here. 10:30, JG? We're already at, man, we're not even in Oklahoma yet. That's next weekend, dude.
You're starting early. Yeah, we got one more week until the all-night benders start. I wish they were starting now, because sure as fuck don't want to watch any more basketball for a while.
Right. Well, let's chat about it here, right? So game four finished up last night. Denver took it, and pretty much it was Denver's game essentially after the first quarter there. And 108-95, look, another great matchup. There was some guys that stepped up here. But, Scott, we'll start with you, man. Give us your thoughts here on game four and what the series looks like now.
I'm kind of surprised that Denver took both in Miami. I think that, Miami had a lot of momentum going into game three based on what they did in game two. And they just lost all the momentum with that game three loss. So game four last night was Denver played very, very good basketball last night in game four. And Jokic rolled his ankle, and that still didn't matter. He still got his 20-some-odd points and double-digit rebounds. And, you know, he wasn't the facilitator that he was in past games. But I was very impressed with Bruce Brown last night. I thought he stepped up and played a phenomenal game last night for them. And going back to
thanks, Alan. Thanks for joining.
Yeah. And going back to Denver, it just seems like that Denver and Miami just going back to end the series in five. So
right. Quick update on the Jokic injury here on the ankle. According to Joel Rush, Michael Malone says of Nikola Jokic ankle, he's fine, he's tough. Obviously, he went to the locker room, came back, and looked like he finished it out on that game, no problem. So, granted, that could be the tape, that could be something else, maybe, but I'm not overly concerned about it. Jason, I got to know, man. We talked about this last week. You were the coach. They won game two. Essentially, what you told us what Miami had to do. What happened, and what does Miami got to do? Can they get back on track?
The biggest change in this series, when you look at games one and two versus games three and four, is very simple. Denver is just running them off the three-point line. They did not do that at all in games one and two. Miami was getting all the open looks. And now, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if, you know, Jimmy Butler is driving in and trying to kick it out, or whether Miami is just trying to scheme open those shooters. It's almost like it just doesn't matter what they do. Denver is going to run them off that three-point line. And Jimmy Butler just drives in. He'll try to kick it out. Well, Denver's staying home with the shooters because they don't really view Jimmy Butler as a threat. They're more than willing to give him, you know, 2 points, and then they'll just come down and start shooting threes. So that's the biggest change here. And if Denver is going to play defense like that every game, I mean, this thing's going to be a wrap, guys. I mean, because, you know, Miami, honestly, like, they weren't hitting their shots in game one, and then they hit them in game two, and now they just can't get open looks at all. And so this series is basically over. Now, I will give Miami a fighting chance because they do play better when their backs are to the wall. Doesn't matter if they're at home or on the road. You get them down for the count. They do play better in that situation. So I will give them a chance to win and put this thing at 3-2. But I feel like the whole series is a lost cause at this point. They are playing for pride right now. And so
at this point,
the series is over, but I do give them a fighting chance to get one on the road. In game five, I listened to post game with Eric Spoelstra in his presser, and he feels confident. I mean, he's got to be confident that they're going to turn this thing around, that they're going to stop turning the ball over. But as much as he wants to sit there and say, oh, we got to cut back on turnovers, dude, they were a little bit sloppy at times, but I give Denver's defense more credit that I'm going to sit there and say Miami just turned the ball over. That Denver's just got active hands. And when your hands are that active, I mean, yeah, if you're Miami, you can try to take care of the ball, but you got active hands on that Denver defense. I mean, it just doesn't matter. They're going to strip the ball. I mean, the key for me, I think, and we've been talking about it all along, is that you've got to turn Jokic into a scorer, but it's not as much about turning him into a scorer as it is you can't let Aaron Gordon have 27 points. Like, that's bullshit.
Right.
Okay. That's just complete bullshit. You might as well not even show up to the night. You might as well just forfeit the next fucking game if you're going to let him have all those wide open dunks and layups. And we talked about this in game one, game two. You can't just let him. I mean, that's the guy you got to stop. I do not care about fucking Jokic. Okay. Just let him fucking shoot threes. If he hits those threes, then hey, man, that more power to you. But Aaron Gordon is the guy you got to stop. Jamal Murray, run him off that fucking three-point line the same way that Denver is running Miami off the three-point line. I don't know if they've done a good job. I don't know if it's that they've done a good job against Michael Porter Jr. or if it's just that Michael Porter Jr. is playing like shit. I don't know what the difference is there. But you got to take all these guys, you know, Bruce Brown. You can't allow him to go off like that. And I think, you know, Eric Spoelstra just kind of wrote it off. I think it was after game two where they said, oh, you know, I think that, you know, the reporter said, you're doing a good job just letting him score and shutting everybody else down. He kind of wrote that off. But that's the game plan from here on out. I don't care if he gets 60 points. You just got to let him do it. I mean, and shut everybody else down. But that's the biggest difference to me, is just Denver's defense. That's what's going on right now. And also the fact that they can't stop Aaron Gordon from getting all these wide open dunks and layups. And so,
right. Well, what do they got to do to win game five? What do they got to do to extend their season?
Yeah. So I just, you know, Jimmy Butler, he just doesn't have the same amount of burst, I don't think. He's I don't know if he's just tired. I know there was word out there. I think Skip Bayless put it out there that his dad was not well. He might have a family issue going on. Yeah. But for whatever, and I know Jimmy Butler was injured. He wasn't playing at 100% before this series started. But they don't respect him when he goes into the lane. So you've got to just do away with the whole drive and kick thing. I mean, you've just got to scheme open those shooters. So Max Strus, you've got to scheme him open and just trust that he's going to make shots.
Yeah. Zero points.
Duncan Robinson, I don't want to see him just driving into the lane and throwing up floaters. I mean, yeah, he made a couple of those, but that's not his game. You got to scheme him open for threes, man. Like, you guys got to start hitting your 3-point shots, because that's how you're going to win the game. Kevin Love was hitting his 3-point shots. Kyle Lowry, Gabe Vincent. You've got guys that can get hot from three. Caleb Martin. You've got to scheme them open, but I don't want to see any more of this drive and kick game, because that's not going to work. I mean, you're not going to put the fear into Denver by driving it in and you know, maybe getting to the 3-point line, because Jimmy Butler was missing a lot of his free throws anyway. I mean, defensively, I think Miami's going to come out with a whole lot more energy. They've got their backs to the wall, and you know, every game is different. And so I think I could see a world in which Miami starts winning their battles in the 50-50 balls, you know, trying to go for those loose balls. I mean, that's something that was, I think in game three, Miami was losing all of those 50-50 battles. And I think that's something that can change. And, you know, a lot of times you got to get lucky, whether that means the officials help you out a little bit, or you just do a little bit better getting those 50-50 balls. I give Miami a solid chance to extend this thing. One more thing I'll throw out there, guys. So Tyler Hero must play in this game. Okay. And I know allegedly he's not been cleared by the medical staff. He's not been cleared to play. I don't care, because what do you have to lose at this point? You're about ready to go home for the offseason. He's not going to re-injure that hand. And even if he did, I don't care. The season's over anyway. I can use 15 to 20 points from Tyler Hero. So they need to throw him out there. I don't care how shitty you think he plays on defense. They need the points. So I'm going to throw him out there because they've got nothing to lose. We'll talk a little bit later about what Miami needs to do in the offseason. But for right now, just get all of your shooters on the floor and just hope for the best.
Well, go ahead, Tanner.
All right, real quick on the comments here. CK Landis, what's up, CK? His legs look like they carried the team here, talking about Jimmy. Bam was doing his part until the last 6 minutes. Allen says also Miami has gone through a lot of games, both playing 6 against Milwaukee, 6 New York, 7 against Boston. They are gassed. And CK Landis here says the dagger was sitting your stud in the fourth for 5 minutes and not losing the lead. I think going back to Allen's comment too, do you think blowing that Boston possible sweep, or not even sweep, the 5 games, cost Miami this chance to compete in this championship here?
I want to say the first 2 games, possibly, because you're playing at altitude. But after that, I think that Miami should have went home and at least won one, and they didn't. So I think if you look back at this playoffs that have gone on, Golden State had the 7 games against Sacramento and then looked gassed against the Lakers in the first game and lost that. You know, gotcha. Teams have gone 7 games in the previous series and have looked bad in the first game, and then have gotten their feet under them and the legs under them and have played well. Miami just looks like they, you know, other than that game 2 win in Denver, they just not have looked the same team as they did against New York and Boston in stretches. And that might go to the Gabe Vincent not playing well and the Caleb Martin who stepped up against the Celtics. They're not stepping up against Denver here. So I give Denver a lot of credit on defense, what they're doing to the Denver ancillary pieces here. So
I think that Jimmy and Bam specifically, I agree. Those two guys are gassed. The rest of the team, they have no reason to be gassed. I mean, when they had that stoppage last night where they had to fix the rim and one of the fans got carted off of the court, there was a significant stoppage there. And I thought that would be helpful to Miami. But the bottom line is like, yeah, Jimmy and Bam are gassed, but nobody else should be gassed. They're just not hitting the shots.
Right.
And I think that could certainly change in the next game. But those two guys are certainly gassed, but I'm not buying it for the rest of the team. They have no reason to be gassed. Gabe Benson is just going through a cold streak right now. And Max Strus, obviously, in the first couple of games, started out shooting like shit. So they just gotta do better. They gotta start hitting their shots.
And don't forget Kevin Love didn't play the last 3 games against Boston hardly.
Yeah, there's no fucking way.
Lineup, so
yeah, Kevin Love, he's not gassed. No, those guys are fucking gassed. But Bam and Jimmy, that's why the rest of the team need to rally around those two guys right now, because those two are absolutely gassed.
go through the minutes real quick here between Jimmy and Bam, and I'll let you know if anybody that's close to them in these games, game one to game four here. Jimmy Bam, so we got 38, 39. Vincent up to 37 in game one was the next closest there. Game two, Jimmy Bam, 40, 40. Nobody near 40. Game three, Jimmy Bam, 40, 40. Nobody near 40. And game four here, Jimmy Bam, 45, 43. And next person down, 32 minutes. And that was off the bench between Martin and Lowry. Like, that's stupid. That's stupid to think completely. About how much you're pushing these guys.
Completely. And the thing is, as JG just said, those guys, they should not be gassed. They're not playing more than 32 minutes in games. So why are you doing things differently now than you did earlier in the playoffs? Do you have a sense of urgency? Do you think that you're not going to win? I don't know what Spoelstra's thinking, but you're pushing Butler and you're pushing Bam so much that the last 6 minutes, they have almost nothing left in the tank to give you. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And that's another reason why you got to throw Tyler Hero in there. But, I hope they make it interesting. You know, I'm a basketball fan to the core. I just want to see this thing be competitive. And although I was wrong in saying that Miami would win this series, I still want to see them make it competitive. You've already proven, if you're the Miami Heat, you've already proven that you can get a game in Denver. You've already proven that you can win a game seven on the road in Boston. And so it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Just, you know, you're playing for pride, but my gosh, let's get a game on the road here and make this thing a little bit more interesting. So I did want to get you guys' thoughts on next season for Miami, because I think that they should make a push to make a trade for Damian Lillard. They've got six draft picks, and I think that they could come up with a package. They could make a trade for Dame Lillard, whether that means moving Kyle Lowry, who's got a $29 million contract, Duncan Robinson, who's got an $18 million contract. I think that Portland would be willing to do a deal if Miami is willing to part with, you know, between four and six of those draft picks, because I just feel like this is the time where Miami, especially if they lose right now, or even if they win, I mean, it's time to go full LA Rams and say, fuck them picks or F them picks, and just bring in Damian Lillard, because you just made it to the fucking finals. If you add a Damian Lillard, like, you're right there, dude. And I think it's time for them to go all in, say, fuck them picks, trade away. Even if you have to give up Tyler Hero, who's making $30 million a year.
What about Bam? Because I think that's the player that they would want. Because he talked about moving on from him earlier this year when the season started.
I don't think they need to do that. I think that Tyler Hero is probably the guy that they would want. But yeah, Tyler Hero's making $30 million a year, and Lillard is making 44. So I think if they were to throw in Duncan Robinson, it's all about the draft picks for Portland. But yeah, I mean, Miami definitely needs to get on the phone after this season and try to bring him in, because guys, Damian Lillard is 33 years old. We all know how fast your career goes and how fast it can go downhill when you hit your mid 30s as a 6'2" guard. Dame Lillard's about to be 33 years old, and he's a guy that needs to win now. Miami's got a roster that needs to win now. I think it's like a match made in heaven. And if you're Portland, you should be trying to move off of him right now, just because he's only got a couple. I mean, he's only going to be in his prime for maybe what, 1 to 2 more years, and then he's done.
I think he's got a few
33
years,
years old, man.
Really good years left. I think
if you're a wing player or a big, you can be in your prime till age 35, 36. You can't do that as a 6'2" point guard.
a guy who doesn't play every game.
I don't know about you guys, but I think he's got at least four, maybe five.
I mean, four years or left. Five.
Either way, you make the trade. You give them what they want.
Yeah, you're this close. You've been this close time and time again. You need to do what you need to do to get over this hump. You know, remember in the bubble, they lost to the Lakers in the finals. They've been in the Eastern Conference Finals. They didn't get past Boston last year because Butler was injured. You're really close right now. So you need to do what you have to do to get over that hump. You should not be happy just getting there. You need to want to win it. So I think Lillard, if you need to trade three or four of those draft picks and a player X to get him, I think you do it. I really do. But I think Lillard's got a few more years left in the tank of really good basketball. I think he's 4 years away from seeing that decline start.
Yeah, and I just think that more than anything else, they owe it to Jimmy Butler because he's put his blood, sweat, and tears on the floor for this team, and he deserves it, man. So whatever you got to throw out there, I'm definitely getting on the phone and trying to make that deal.
I'm doing everything I can to make that deal. That's for sure. Speaking of which, while the Nuggets were winning that game four here, they actually did make a trade with Oklahoma City during the game. Nuggets received a second round pick for this year's draft and a first and second round pick of next year's draft. In return, the Thunder receive a protected first round pick in 2029. That doesn't make sense.
What is
there something we're missing?
What is the GM of Denver doing sitting there during the game on his phone saying, "Hey, let's make this trade"?
It might have been second quarter or something like that.
unless OKC thinks they have too many first rounders, which you can never have enough first rounders in the NBA.
You can never have enough first rounders.
Exactly. I don't know what OKC is doing.
It's bizarre, and the only thing I can think of is that he's just getting cocky as shit, saying like, "Well, this fucking series is over. Let's see if I can make a deal, man." Because like. And that's a bad thing to do when a series is going on. Like that just looks bad. I mean, that just makes you look like a cocky bastard you're so fucking bored because your team is getting ready to win.
Are you on the team bus and you're sitting next to Michael Malone and you're saying, "Watch what I do during the game. I'm going to call OKC and I'm going to get a first round draft pick from them. Look, watch this." And then he probably said to him after the game on the bus ride to the airport, "Hey, I got my first round of worlds." It's like, come on, really?
And the coach is probably fucking pissed. Like, well, you're trying to get us in the fucking news right now. You're trying to build a story when we haven't even closed the deal yet.
I mean, the draft is the 22nd, so they got, 12 days. So I think, look, they probably could have waited till today to do any moves. But, I think it's kind of badassery. Like, we're up in the second quarter. I'm going to go ahead and finish out this trade here that Oklahoma was talking about. But Jason, why is the Thunder just getting a protective first round pick back in 2029 for three draft picks?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like the Thunder, they're building something. I mean, like as a Spurs fan, I just like the one guy I would go out and get with Victor Wembanyama would be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's probably, outside of Wembanyama right now, he's probably my favorite player in the NBA. Yeah. The Thunder, Sam Presti has proven that he knows how to draft and get good talent. I'm not sure about that trade. I don't know what he's trying to do there, but the Thunder are definitely building something right now with Shai and with Josh Giddey. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, the Thunder are going to be competitive within the next 3 to 5 years for sure.
I'd say so, at least.
Yeah.
It should be.
With all these influx of first-round young talent coming in, they've got to be one of the up-and-coming rising teams in the West, if not in the NBA for sure. So they could stockpile a ton of talent in this next 2 years.
And when you have a first-team All-NBA player like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and at the same time you have all of these old guys like Steph and LeBron and KD that are just going to be on the downside of their careers and retiring. I mean, anything's possible moving forward. And so I think you've got a lot of leeway there to just try to build a championship caliber team, because, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the real deal, man. First team all NBA. And he is young as shit. He's going to be around a long time.
I agree, guys. Game five predictions real quick here. What you got, JG?
Got to go down with the ship, man. I was wrong about who would win this series. I took Miami in six. And so now that it's pretty much cemented that they're going to lose the series, I still have to go down with the ship. I will take Miami to get one on the road. And then Denver probably going to close this thing out in six games.
Okay. Scott?
Yeah, I think Denver closes it out in game five. If Denver gets up by double digits early, this game could get really ugly in a hurry. So I just like Denver to close it out at home. I think they have all the momentum going right now, and I think they've cleaned up any mistakes that Michael Malone thought they were making in game two. So I like Denver to close it out.
Guys, I got my original prediction, my original statement that I even said on Twitter. You can go find it.
Yep.
It's five games, Denver. Yep. Denver and five. And it's done deal. It's finished. Let's just wrap it up.
For any of you conspiracy theorists out there that believe that the NBA is rigged, now's your time. Now's your time.
This is your game.
You got to be calling on these referees to help Miami win this fucking game, because that's the only shot they've got.
I got two words for you. Scott Foster. If he shows up, it's going six.
It's coming. Fuck it, man.
Just bring Tim Donaghy out of retirement. Throw his ass.
Do that too.
I love it. Anything else, guys, here for today's NBA segment?
No, that's it. No? I mean, draft's coming. Nah, man.
It's a wrap. Let's do a draft show next weekend.
Hey, I'm up for it. You know me. Hey,
I'm up for it too. I've been starting to study these prospects. So
I know, right? I just started asking around too. By the way, next weekend, JG and I'll be in Oklahoma here. So we'll be doing our show remotely with Scott here. So we'll keep an eye out, hit the bell, subscribe, follow, and we'll let you know when we're on. So it's going to be a blast here next weekend, because, I mean, Yellow Tooth Bums might come back, you know? You never know.
Listen, you guys aren't going to see Alan next week, are you?
I actually reached out to him because we're going to stop at Rough Tail. He said I'll have to check his schedule, but I gave him a good lead time. He goes, I might actually be able to swing over, because it's like 30 minutes from his house. So
should be an interesting show. I'm pretty sure that Tanner and I are going to be completely obliterated during the show. So that gives all of you listeners something to look forward to.
Love to see about that, guys. Make sure you guys hit the like, subscribe, follow. We'll be back tomorrow morning, Scott and I, for the Let's Talk Sports Show, 8 o'clock central, 8 a.m. central, 9 a.m. eastern. It's gonna be a blast. We'll have Vic on to talk about the UFC recap, and then we'll have like an hour to ourselves, which is scary. So we'll have to see what exactly happens there. So everybody, have a great Saturday. Enjoy your finals game Monday. Oh, by the way, Stanley Cup Finals. I think it's tonight, right?
Yes, tonight.
Yep. Tonight. Let's see if Vegas can get back on track here. I got some bets down again. So everybody have a fabulous time. We'll talk to you next weekend.